my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 227, or 227, hence the tribute to the classic 80s sitcom starring Jack A and Florence Henderson. Not Florence Henderson, she was Florence on the Jeffersons. Marla Gibbs, my bad. I got my Florence's confused, cross-reference there. 227, of course, a hit back in the day when I was a kid, and I'm having a little fun, obviously, and keeping an 80s theme going. This week's episode is all about WrestleMania 2. I came up with the idea, and by the way, I am recording this on the road. I've got an hour ahead of me leaving the Stride Pro Wrestling Show. I'm on my own and on the road, so I figured I would record the intro for the show that I recorded earlier in the evening with Jerry Travelstead, who is part of Stride Pro Wrestling. And we talk about WrestleMania 2, and the idea behind this, I'm doing a three-part series on WrestleMania leading up to the big event, which is coming up on April 7th in New York, or New Jersey again this year. So last week, of course, Dalton, Anthony, and I talked about Kurt Angle and the opponents that we were hoping to see him face, and we had a list of 12, and we actually repeated two of those opponents, so we really had 10 superstars we were hoping to see Kurt Angle face, but we're getting Baron Corbin, or at least right now, I don't think it's going to be Baron Corbin still. I think there's been a lot of backlash from this announcement. We know that John Cena still does not have an opponent, nor does The Undertaker, or at least they haven't announced anyone for either one of those men. So I think there's still a possibility that we get John Cena and Kurt Angle. To me, it probably is the one match that makes the most sense from a storyline perspective. But, you know, I really was hoping for Matt Riddle, a surprise person from NXT. Perhaps it wouldn't necessarily have to be Matt Riddle, but he is my favorite on the NXT brand. But I digress. You can go back and listen to episode 226. It is in the archives. It's last week's show. Speaking of the WrestleMania series that I'm doing, this week, of course, it is WrestleMania Redo with WrestleMania 2. And if this is, you know, if people enjoy this episode, I'll do it again next year and we'll pick another WrestleMania and kind of talk about it, analyze it, redo some of the matches and somewhat. That's kind of what Jerry Travelstead and I do on this episode. Jerry was 6, by the way, when WrestleMania 2 happened. I was 13, but we kind of share our stories about watching the event and how we would kind of maybe make a few tweaks along the way. So be sure to stick around for the rest of the episode. Next week, Chad joins me again. Chad Smart of Positive Cynicism fame now. And we're going to talk about our favorite opening matches for WrestleMania. So if you have a favorite opener from any WrestleMania, let me know. Let us know what your favorite. And we're doing it as our sixth sense, so we'll talk about our 6 favorite openers. Then I've always found when we do these top six, our sixth sense, it's never about what is necessarily the best, but more of what our favorites are, because I don't think that, you know, you can be everybody's got an opinion on what is better or what is best, and I know that some of mine, people will scratch their heads when they hear it, but, you know, I go for a, you know, what is my favorite, what resonated with me and whatnot. So, Chad again from Positive Cynicism will be joining me for that. Speaking of Positive Cynicism, it's one of the many shows here on the Jerry Monkey Podcasting Network. Greg Mahochko has Nerd United and the Five Heart Podcast, and we're all going to be getting together coming up at the Cape Comic-Con in April. Looking forward to that. It's in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, so if you're able to, make it down or make it over or make it up, depending on where you are geographically listening to this week's episode. I would highly encourage you to do so, and we'll be counting down and doing more leading up to Cape Con in the weeks to come here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. You can check out all the shows and get more details as well. So, also want to encourage you to check out the Jittery Monkey store at jitterymonkey.com/shop. You can pick up merchandise from all of the shows here on the Podcasting Network, as well as over on the Pro Wrestling Tee store at prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents. I have a brand new Mondo 123 shirt, which is a ripoff of Austin 316, but I do 123 with Mondo's name. Mondo, of course, the monkey that represents the My123Cents brand on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network and My123Cents.com and all that good stuff. So, having some fun with that. And I actually have some ideas for some other classic or vintage pro wrestling shirts and sayings and gimmicks and whatnot, and incorporating Mondo into that too. So we'll see how the Mondo 123 shirt sells. I've had a couple of sales of it, as well as the Stride Pro Wrestling shirt, which is still available, and the original Mondo shirt. The Christmas Mondo shirt is there as well, but it's not Christmas anymore, so I don't know that people will be interested in that, but I encourage you again to go to prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents and check out the swag. It is fun doing this podcast and hanging out with wrestling fans, and excuse me, hopefully you are enjoying the shows a little bit more that have co-hosts. So without any further ado, I'm going to stop rambling, and we're going to head back to 1986, April, I believe it was April 7th, which is the same year as this year's WrestleMania. But let's go back to April 1986. It is WrestleMania 2. My guest co-host, Jerry Travelstead. We'll be right back with that.
Closed-circuit, giant-screen television wrestling event of all time. From three different stadiums across America, three incredible main events. World champion Hulk Hogan against King Kong Bundy in a steel cage. Roddy Piper in boxing gloves against Mr. T. Plus the wildest battle royal of all time, starring the Refrigerator William Perry, Big John Studd, and 20 other wrestling superstars. WrestleMania 2, Monday, April 7th, Montreal Forum. Tickets now on sale at the Forum and all Ticketron outlets.
Hey everyone, as promised, I am here with Jerry Travelstead, T-Dog in Stride Pro Wrestling, and actually the guest on episode 204, because he is the superintendent at Community Consolidated 204 in Pinckneyville, Illinois. Jerry, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Kevin.
Well, I had posed the question about WrestleMania 2, where people rank it, because, you know, there's not a WrestleMania that I don't like, but I think WrestleMania 2 a lot of times gets a lot of heat because it doesn't hold up as some of the other ones did, and especially in that era of WrestleMania and WWF. For me, you know, I actually remember watching this one live. We went to a friend's house who had the capabilities to get it. It was a Monday night, which was, mm-hmm. you know, back then I didn't think much of it because WrestleMania was, you know, very, very much in its infancy. So we, of course, now know that Sunday night is the night for pay-per-view. So the Monday night thing didn't really throw me off by too much. But what are your overall, because I had posted it on Facebook and was asking people's opinions, what is your overall opinion of WrestleMania 2?
Well, like I posted a comment on there, but about, it kind of depends on how you look at it. As a six-year-old boy, you know, I was enamored by this by the matches myself at the time. As an adult, I look back on it and I think, okay, so the matches weren't as good as quality as what I see nowadays, which that could maybe be able to be said for a lot of those WrestleManias through there. But the biggest, I think, criticism of WrestleMania 2 comes because you're comparing it to number one, which was the first, which mm-hmm. is, as everybody says, was Vince's favorite. I don't know if that's true or not. But and then the third one, which was obviously record breaking and was up until WrestleMania, what, 32?
32, yeah.
And so, it, when you compare it to those two, yeah, maybe not as special, but, there were some good things about it. I mean, at the time, I was enamored by Hulk Hogan, and so Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy, even though it was a short match, the storyline was obvious. They only played, I think, the storyline out for a couple weeks even beforehand, mm-hmm. but. I loved it. I mean, it was a cage match, seeing Hogan in a cage match. I absolutely loved it. And when I look back at it as an adult, at the time I didn't realize there was three different venues, as a mm-hmm. six-year-old. And I look back at it and I think, every group only got to see, four matches.
Yeah.
And so if I was a paying person actually attending one of those, I don't probably come away with it as special as I do as – get to see the whole thing on TV, I mean, I don't know how much they paid for their tickets, but I think in total there's only like 40,000 people that were in attendance.
Yeah.
Added up to all three events, So that was kind of awkward. I obviously Vince learned his lesson and decided not to ever do that again. It's a good idea. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, they were watching, if you were in New York, you were watching Chicago mm-hmm. and Los Angeles on closed circuit. But yeah, like you said, it kind of takes away, and I would imagine, especially if you were watching it live, in person in New York, and then all of a sudden you're watching it on a giant TV then for the rest of the night.
Yeah, so. And how giant were their TVs back then?
Right,
They weren't like they were at Dallas where they were a football field long, so I'd be interested to see how much those people actually had to pay for their tickets compared to 1 and 3 even,
Yeah, because I remember when I was in high school, my dad and I went to the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis and watched WrestleMania 4 on closed circuit, but it was a giant, it was like a movie theater sized screen, but there also wasn't a wrestling ring set up and matches happening before or after we watched. So it's a very good point about how big was this screen and were fans able to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I'm sure any kid would love to go to WrestleMania, no matter if they see four matches or see 10.
Right.
Nowadays it's a 3-hour, I took my little kids last year, and I was just hoping they could stay awake for the whole thing,
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're talking this year about potentially being 7 hours from start to finish, which
that's insane.
Is mind-numbing to think about. So you didn't mind Hogan versus Bundy then as the main event? As a kid, you obviously...
As a kid, I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, I posted on Facebook the other day that one of the first books I ever bought at the book fair was WrestleMania 2 book. It was Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy, and it told the whole storyline leading up to it. And then, of course, it showed pictures throughout the match. And I remember I was 6. I was probably 7 by the time I bought that book, so I would say it took a little while to come out. But I was enamored by it. Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy were the very first two wrestling figures I ever bought.
Oh, very nice.
Or I didn't buy them. My parents bought them for me, the LJNs.
And mm-hmm.
So to me, that was special. But that's because it's nostalgia for guys our age, I don't think you're comparing apples. You're comparing apples to oranges if you compare it to today's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, it just,
oh, sure.
It's just different. I mean, you had Ricky Steamboat, and you had some good names, but you also had... who was the – I can't remember the guy's name, George something.
That, George the Animal Steel or George Wells?
George Wells. I didn't even know who in the world that was, No, George the Animal Steel, I mean, that could have been – I like that storyline, actually, mm-hmm. with Macho Man. And I don't know if you know it, but George, he was the first one to ever kick out of the elbow.
Yeah, I was actually watching WrestleMania 2 earlier before we recorded this, and just to kind of refresh myself on it. And George Wells – actually, the George Wells match – with Jake the Snake, he actually had a lot of offense in that before. But, Vince McMahon did a really good job, obviously, as the hype man, putting him over on commentary. But you're right. It's like, who is this guy and why is he here at WrestleMania?
Right.
But, George the Animal Steel and Randy Savage, I think, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but there were obviously some seeds I feel like planted there for a year later when Savage wrestled Steamboat at WrestleMania.
And I didn't even realize until looking back on it that they were wrestling for the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. To me, I thought they were wrestling for Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really care about the belt. It was the girl that was the story to me, as a kid at least, you know, so.
And I think, I think they really played up the Elizabeth storyline with that one as well, because Savage had just won the Intercontinental title about a month and a half earlier from Tito Santana. So we have the New York area, which also part of my problem with them splitting it up into three places was they obviously did not have a deep pool of talent when it comes to doing commentary and whatnot. Yeah. So you're pairing up your main commentators from your other shows with a celebrity. So Susan St. James, for example, was doing commentary, which, you know, I have nothing against celebrity commentators, but I feel like sometimes if you're throwing them out there and they're not necessarily a wrestling fan or know what's going on.
Was she the one that said it's the first wrestling thing she'd ever been to?
She might have been.
One of the girls said this is the first wrestling event I've ever been to. That kind of was like, what?
That might have been Kathy Lee Crosby,
too.
But, you know, with Susan St. James, she is still married to Dick Ebersol, who was you basically got Saturday night's main event onto NBC and into prime time. So I think that might have been partly a favor. Sure. And, you know, and Susan St. James, when I was a kid, I loved watching. She was on the show Kate and Allie. I loved that show. So she was a celebrity.
I did like Gene Okerlund, though, being on the commentary. That was nice.
Yeah, it was good. And I did like, you know, if you're going to do it in three different locations, they're at least peppering us in with updates in Los Angeles. You know, they dropped an interview with Jesse Ventura and Hulk Hogan from LA, and then we heard from Mean Gene, who was kind of getting the guys ready for the big battle royal. But I think for me personally, you know, I nothing against Mr. T and nothing against King Kong Bundy by any means. I personally would have rather seen that main event be Hulk Hogan versus Rowdy Roddy Piper in the cage.
Sure.
Because I felt like after WrestleMania, they kind of dropped off the Hogan-Piper angle, and it was then Piper and Orndorff, and they feuded for the longest time. And I felt like we never really got closure with Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Piper.
Piper never got his due, I mean, in my opinion. I mean, I hated the Mr. T thing. I didn't, you know, I was rooting for Mr. T as a six-year-old, but as I watch it as an adult, I'm rooting for Rowdy Piper, you know, because, I mean, you know, it's a gimmick match, obviously, but everything that Roddy did in the business, and you wish he would have got more of a look than what he did. And I believe that's the last time he wrestled as a heel. I think he took a break after that.
Came back
as a face. But the Mr. T thing didn't impress me none. I'm glad he body slammed him. You know, it was kind of fun. But that wasn't. Was that the Chicago or was that
was New York? That was New York's main event. You know, obviously, I would advocate for a Hogan Piper, you know, kind of put closure on that. And Piper could have still, you know, and I know there's stories of, you know, Roddy Piper didn't want to put anyone over, you know, he didn't want to lose. And in a cage, you're obviously going to lose. I think that would have been a perfect way, though, he walks off into the sunset after that match, like he did in New York, and comes back in the fall to start feuding with Adrian Adonis and Turnface. So, you know, of course, we're playing, obviously, armchair quarterback or Monday morning booker, Tuesday morning booker, however you want to say it. So, but getting into Chicago, of course, we had the British Bulldogs getting the tag team championship
match.
That was a great match. British Bulldogs are still my favorite tag team
absolutely.
Of all time. I love
me
those
too.
Guys. You know, Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake, an odd pair as tag team champions, too.
It was more of a handicap match. I mean, when I go back and look at it, Greg Valentine, he was excellent in that match. To me, he wrestled a handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
Brutus came in, I think, a couple times, but Valentine's the one that did all the work. But him against the Bulldogs, it was great. I thought it was excellent.
We had a ladies' match with Moolah defending against Velvet McIntyre.
Was that the fastest? I mean, that was like a minute something.
Yeah, it was a very quick match.
Has there been any faster than that you know of?
For the women's?
Or for anybody.
At WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania, it was SD Jones and King Kong Bundy. You know, they said it was 9 seconds, but I think it's about 30 seconds when you go back and look at it. So Corporal Kirshner and Nikolai Volkoff, which
wasn't a bad idea, in my opinion.
Yeah.
did you just this is off the record, or you know, this is crazy, but Corporal Kirshner, I went back and watched it. Doesn't he remind you a booger off of Revenge?
Yes. That is an excellent observation. With Corporal Kirshner, I felt like, and when I say they, WWE or, you know, even WCW did it to an extent, but these guys that are mega over, Sergeant Slaughter, yeah, leaves the company, and then they look for someone to fill that void, yeah, and they go to Corporal Kirshner, who, you know, it's somewhat unfair to that person because they are trying to fill this person's boots and live up to an expectation, and when they fail, and I think Corporal Kirshner experiment worked for a little bit, but then, you know, he just basically became a glorified enhancement guy.
What was Hacksaw doing back then? Hacksaw wasn't there yet.
Yeah. Hacksaw made his debut at WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
And obviously that worked.
Yeah.
That really did
work.
He
had a little bit more charisma than,
yeah,
Corporal Kirshner.
Than Corporal Kirshner. And then Corporal Kirshner, of course, went on to go to Japan and wrestle as Leatherface and had a chainsaw gimmick and was way over with
Nikolai's,
the folks there.
He's one of my favorites of all time, though, Nikolai Volkov. I mean, I know it was, you know, his gimmick just worked. It was right timing, but
yeah,
he sold it, and he looked Russian, even though I don't know that he was. I don't know what he was.
I think
was,
he's but, Lithuanian yeah, originally, but yeah.
It was a quick match. Blassie throwing in, what, he threw his cane in?
I believe he threw his cane in.
It looked like he threw
intercepted it.
It looked like he was going straight to Kirshner the whole time, but I think it was supposed to be pretended to go to Nikolai, but it was a fairly quick match, but... You know, it was more about Nikolai coming out and singing the Russian national anthem and then, you know, cheating and getting beat. So,
what'd you think of the Battle Royal? It was a Battle Royal mixed with NFL football players. I'm not much of a sports fan. Didn't really know, other than William Perry, who was part of that Super Bowl winning team with the Bears. I didn't really know anyone else involved in that.
That's the only one I knew also. When I went back and watched it, I felt like Andre looked better in WrestleMania 3 than he did. To me, he looked like he's on the downhill slope in WrestleMania 2. I mean, physically, he didn't look good to me at all. I mean, I'm glad he got the win. He deserves a win. I mean, he should win every Battle Royal he's ever in, you know. You can't tell me that, I don't care how many guys you got, could throw him out of a ring. But it was okay. I mean, it was what it was. It was in Chicago, so it got popped from the crowd. What do you think about, I noticed when I went back, now this is not the match, but they almost, the way they produced it, did you notice how they blacked out the crowd? I mean, all you saw was the ring the entire time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I didn't know if I liked that, because you can't see the fans getting into it. Because like in Chicago, that Battle Royal, you know they were getting into the watching
football
players get out there.
Absolutely.
You know? It just looked like it was extremely small.
Mm-hmm.
Like WrestleMania to me is grand.
Yeah.
Huge. And the way they blacked out the crowd and just had focus on the ring just looked like it was like just a Saturday night main event or something, you know?
Yeah, and like we talked about earlier, I think when you're only promising fans four matches each, you know, those live matches, it may take away some of the desire or the draw to go and watch it live, maybe. I don't know. But,
I was wondering if the seats were full or I don't know.
That's a very good possibility, too, because this was still, you know, very early in its infancy trying to get and figure out exactly what was going to work.
But I'm going back to the Battle Royal, though.
Yeah.
I'm glad Andre won. He deserves to win it. And I didn't see anything in it that told a lot of stories or anything. I mean, Hart Foundation were in it, you know, all the football players. It was all right.
Yeah, and, you know, on that Battle Royal, to me, they were making the big deal with William the Refrigerator Perry being in there. And I felt like his exit, you know, John Studd throwing him out, and then it was early, and I didn't feel like there was any kind of payoff for it.
No.
So, you know, in my WrestleMania redo, if you will, I would have made that the celebrity match, and instead of doing the Battle Royal, make it Andre the Giant and William Perry against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy. Since I've got Hogan versus Piper. So I just felt like Perry's appearance was very brief, and it was Chicago. It was his hometown, but... And then, you know, he, of course, pulls John Studd over the top rope, and the fans kind of reacted to that. But overall, I was kind of disappointed with that and thought we might have gotten a little bit more out of it, or at least gotten down. And I know, you know, obviously you're not going to have Andre eliminate William Perry at the end because they're both faces. But even if he would have made it to the final four with the Hart Foundation and Andre and it being William Perry and the Hart Foundation, you know, ties Andre up in the ropes and then they work on Perry and throw him out somehow, You know, maybe that would have been a little bit more.
And you never know what's happening backstage.
Yeah.
Maybe I've always heard John Studd was hard to deal with. Maybe he didn't want to get thrown out. You know.
Yeah. Very good.
Wouldn't take it for William Perry. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now I didn't realize it, but after reading about it a little bit, that Andre actually went to Japan after this. And work. Is that right?
I believe that is right. And I think this was at the time, yeah, when they came back as when he came in as the Giant Machine.
Yeah.
And then he had, who later became Axe, was one of the machines. And then Blackjack Mulligan played one of the machines as well. Yeah, that was that summer.
That was the big John Studd. Bundy was kept saying that he's Andre the Giant.
Yeah. Yeah. The Heenan family got involved in it.
How many 7'4" guys? That was kind of comical, I guess.
Yeah, those were good times for sure. So let's go to LA now. And of course, you know, Tito Santana and the Junkyard Dog versus Dory Funk Jr. and Terry Funk, which. It's weird to me sometimes when I go back and think about it. You know, guys like the Funks and Dusty Rhodes and Harley Race all coming into the WWF around this same time. You know, of course, Harley Race came in a little bit later after this particular match, but it's kind of – it was hard to think about Dory Funk and Terry Funk being a part of the WWF. But that was a good match, too. It was
a good match.
Junkyard Dog, I know he gets a lot of criticism from time to time, but, you know, Tito Santana, always a solid worker. One of the few guys who was at every WrestleMania up to, I think, WrestleMania 9. So a solid, dependable guy, to say the very least.
Yeah, for me, not a big match. JYD was one of my favorites as a single. Just because that was it when I grew up, you know, he was the face and over, and I loved the chain and the dance he did, you know, all that kind of stuff. The match itself, though, you know, at the time I wasn't a big Funk fan because I didn't really watch anything besides WWF at the time, not WWE, but kind of a okay match for me. I didn't really. Wouldn't have really got into it, probably.
Yeah, the Funks cheated. I believe they used Jimmy Hart's megaphone and knocked out Junkyard Dog. Which, right before WrestleMania 2, WWF was in St. Louis, and the main event for that particular show was Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog against the Funks.
Yeah.
And Hogan was still, you know, the ribs were taped up from the King Kong Bundy attack. Of course, Hogan and Dog ended up winning that night. I was there. My dad took me to that one, and we had a great time. But, yeah, that was the main event for that. Here's one that I'd like to pick your brain about. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Hercules.
Yeah.
Which it was what it was. Now, there's a rumor that match was supposed to be Ricky Steamboat versus Bret Hart.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard that now more than once, and I don't know how true it is. Of course, Bret Hart was still, solid with the Hart Foundation. They hadn't even won the tag team titles yet, but...
Yeah.
Imagine the difference of that card with that match alone. Well, that would have been your Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage match, I think, from WrestleMania 3.
You would think it would have been. I mean, Bret Hart and Savage are probably similar in the way they think through a match and make sure it's, you know, everything, all the T's crossed and I's dotted kind of thing. Hercules, you know, I liked him as a worker, but nice body. But I saw a couple times in that match they kind of botched a couple different moves and... you know, even Ricky giving the arm drag to him looked kind of weird, you know, because Hercules isn't really a guy that takes an arm drag, I wouldn't think, a lot. But, yeah, Ricky Steamboat and Bret Hart, that would have been – did they ever wrestle?
I don't know that they ever wrestled in WWF. I'm not 100% sure on
I'd
that.
I'd like to see that one.
Go back and check on that. But I do know that Dynamite Kid and Ricky Steamboat had a match at the Wrestling Classic, which was – the big or it wasn't a pay-per-view, but it was a tournament that I do know that they had a really outstanding match, too, along the way.
I'd like to have seen that match with Bret Hart, but I've never been a Bret Hart singles fan. I liked him more as a tag team, but that's, of course, that's my age, too.
Yeah.
Showing, so.
Sure.
But Steamboat and him would have been a great match.
That would have been a really solid match, but adorable Adrian Adonis versus Uncle Elmer. This was just kind of filler, I think, for the show. Adonis just adopting that new gimmick and obviously was on the card to kind of get him over with the crowd and introduced out there, I think. And Uncle Elmer was what he was, I suppose. But I would have almost put him in the battle royal and had Adrian work someone that was probably a bit of a better worker.
Right. Yeah, where's Paul Orndorff in all this? What did he do?
He wrestled in the opener against Don Morocco in New York. Yeah, that's they ended up with a double countout. But yeah, Orndorff would have been a good one to like insert that. In that match.
Yeah, Adonis and Elmer. I never even heard of Elmer until I went back and looked at it. I didn't know who he was, but Uncle Elmer. But that's one of those matches you just kind of shake your head and wonder if he was trying, if McMahon was just, you know, liked one of those two guys or what the deal was, you know.
The Hillbillies were over for a while there because they did the big wedding angle on Saturday night's main event with Uncle Elmer. And then Hillbilly Jim, of course, was
Jim,
quite
yeah.
popular. So
yeah, where was he at?
He was in the Battle Royal, Chicago. Yeah. So
there was some big guys in that Battle Royal. Right?
Yeah, they had Bruno Sammartino, Big John Studd, Pedro Morales was in there, the Killer Bees, the Hearts.
Killer Bees, gosh, I love them.
Yeah. So they, that was a case, too, where, you know, maybe we're trying to get as many guys on the card as we can.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that either because, you know, again.
I'd rather see the Killer Bees and the Heart Foundation and put those two guys
do a tag match.
Put those
instead,
two guys in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, our main event, going back to that, it's Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy. I kind of gave my 3 cents, 1, 2, 3 cents on that. And Jerry enjoyed it, enjoyed the cage. Did you like the big blue cage versus the metal cage?
It's just me, though, man. That's blue cage is what I like. That's what the cage will always be. I always thought it was taller than what it is. When I went back and looked at it, we had that cage match at Pinckneyville a while back, and you know, we were putting it up, and I stood up on the top rope, stood up on the cage. I thought, this isn't, you know, I was thinking, this isn't as tall as I was thinking. Maybe the WWE's is bigger. And then I went and watched that match. I'm like, no, it's not any bigger. It's the same size. But
and the cage in Pinckneyville was similar to Big Blue.
Yeah, it was cattle paneling.
Look, yeah.
So it was very similar, which I like. I don't like the chain link fence.
Yeah, I agree. I always liked Big Blue better, too.
Yeah.
So tell me let's talk about the cage match that you just brought up, because was that your first cage match?
Absolutely. Yep.
And you actually went, you started it off on the top.
Oh, yeah. That we did a thing where during my intro I had a body double come out and pretend like they were me and then disappear and then lights were off and started off the top and I did a fall off the top onto, you know, several guys, but that was fun. It was my way of getting a pop, you know, for the match. And
were you nervous doing that? I was nervous for you because I'm not a heights guy, so.
I really wasn't. I knew who I was jumping on, and I felt pretty safe. I really wasn't nervous. The hardest part was when you get to the top, it was situating yourself to stand up.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, the scariest part, because you lose your balance, you're going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know? So that was the scariest part because I had to get up there and stand up. And then the lights came on, and then I had to wait till everybody saw me, and then go.
So, yeah, so everybody knows what's going on.
But that cage match was fun. It was a big group, so it didn't do a whole lot. But what I didn't realize when you're doing a cage match, Big Blue is the same way. If you watch King Kong Bundy, every time he hit the ropes, he smoked the cage too.
Yeah,
he was hitting the cage every time.
Yeah,
and that's one thing you don't realize when those cage matches. You're kind of limited on what you can do. They look cool though, but. But that was the first one I ever saw on TV, and then the first one I ever saw live was actually John Cena and Seth Rollins in St. Louis. It was a house show, and they wrestled in a cage there, and that was kind of neat. So,
yeah, there have been some great cage matches out there as well, notwithstanding. I know you probably heard the ring bouncing earlier. We're recording right before a Stride show. Jerry's got a match tonight and is busy getting ready
yep.
for other things as well, so I'm going to let him go. But, Jerry, anything else coming up on the horizon for you that you want to get out there?
Yeah, we got a show coming up, a couple shows. Johnson City School, we're going to be there April 6th. Myself and their high school basketball coach and former SIU Saluki, Scott Brzezinski. We're going to be probably the main event on the show, and we're going to be kicking the crap out of Dalton and Garrett or
Dexter Roswell.
Dexter Roswell.
That's okay. He's been on the show before too.
Whoever shows up, they're going to get beat up, and then I'm going to take Dexter again. And then at our show, we're going to have a show in May at 204 School. It'll be myself and my daughter's going to join me to wrestle against Dexter again and kind of put him in his place. He broke a paddle over me
about
a year ago at 204, and still to this day, that's the hardest hit I've ever taken.
Oh.
I'm ready to get him back for that, and so that should be fun. We got Bushwhacker Luke Williams coming in for that one too.
Oh, cool!
So it should be fun. Interested to talk to him. Of course, WrestleMania is going to be at Tampa next year, and that's where Bushwhacker's from. And so, be interesting to talk to him and kind of see what he's going to be doing there at Tampa and what he thinks is going to take place. I'm hoping Hulk Hogan's involved.
Cause, yeah.
We plan on going to that, but that's about it. You know, getting the school year over with, and I think we got about 8 or 9 shows lined up for the rest of 2019. So pretty excited about doing that and helping people out. And tonight's a good one. Of course, this will air after it's over with, but good fundraiser here tonight.
And yeah,
that's what makes it all worth it.
Absolutely. Well, Jerry Travelstead, thank you so much for being a part of my 1-2-3 cents once again. And friends, thanks for listening. We'll talk again next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.